and 58 through 61. The message title is A Joyful Life Even Amidst Trials. Genesis 24, verses 15 through 20. Now I'll read. Before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The woman was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever slept with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please give me a little drink from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough to drink." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Verses 58 through 61. So they called Rebecca and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" "I will go," she said. So they sent their sister Rebecca on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, "Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies." Then Rebecca and her attendants got ready and mounted the camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebecca and left. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your amazing name. Dear Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather here to worship you and to be able to sing songs of praise to you. This is a true privilege. Dear Father, we know that you are working in all of our lives and you live in each and every one of us. You have met us and provide guidance for us. Your immenseness and the depth of your love and the height and width of it is something, Lord, that we want to know even more and more about today. May the Holy Spirit live and work abundantly in our lives. Allow us to be able to experience you more and to be able to testify of you. Please give us new strength today. We have great expectations of hearing what we'll hear in the message today. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is like a live rock concert. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Today's message title is A Joyful Life Even Amidst Trials. And I'm just going to give a different kind of perspective today about this as we speak about this topic. In Japanese history, there's the period of the Kamakura period and Muromachi period. And since then, the Japanese economy was actually really influenced by this merchant by the name of Oumi. And this is actually an area that is he's from an area of present-day Shiga Prefecture. It's kind of like the Kyoto, Hokuriku, and Shinshu areas where the financial aspect, economy really grew. These merchants at this time would carry all of their products on their backs, go up over these mountains to go to various places to expand their business. There was once a time when the merchant went up on this huge mountain peak, and he went up to the top of it, and he was just taking a break because it was so hot in the summer. And a different merchant was coming up also a different route up the mountain. And he said to him, "Oh, every time I come up to this point, I'm just so upset with this peak. It's just so hard to climb, and there's so many times I just wanted to give up climbing halfway through. This is just the most terrible mountain peak there is. And this Omi guy replied and just kind of laughed at him, saying, "Oh, really? Well, for me, I think this peak should be even higher, because then everybody else will give up and go home. And then I will be able to go up over the mountain, and I'll be able to just do as much business on the other side as I want." So how is it that they were successful with their business? It's because they made a huge effort. Just a while ago, there was a documentary shown on TV where Hayao Miyazaki was featured, and he's actually really famous. He's famous for making Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro, Princess Monohikihime, and Castle in the Sky, Kiki's Delivery Service, and others as well. You probably know who this person is. And amongst his programs, there's something that he's often said when he was creating them. He's like, "This is so troublesome." For example, he was like, "This is the reason why it's so troublesome to make these animation films. And there's so many things that are troublesome about it. But I'm fighting against that because I know it's really important to accomplish this." He says, "Really important things in life really are troublesome." And he said he just had the desire to be able to overcome that feeling to be able to produce these amazing works. Today we're looking at Genesis chapter 24. And it's about Abraham and how he had sent his servant to go find a wife for his son, Isaac. And Abraham had his servant, told the servant there's two different conditions that need to be found in this wife. One was that they couldn't choose a wife from the Gentiles in the Canaanite land. And he didn't want any Gentile woman coming into his house. So he asked the servants to go to the Mesopotamian area and find a wife from amongst relatives. He wasn't going to take Isaac there to find a wife, but rather to go there and get a wife and bring her back. This is how Abraham decided to set up the wife for his son. The servant confirmed about this and took 10 of Abraham's camels to go on the trip to Mesopotamia. As for distance, it would have been about 720 kilometers. So it would have taken the camels about 20 days to make that journey. He went with them there and arrived at the place. And the first place he got there was near this well. Of course, that would have made sense to stop there because they had traveled quite a distance. And so they would need water. The servant would need water, and so would the camels. And also in those days, the task of drying out water from a well was that is the responsibility of young women. So it's likely that if the servant was near a well, he'd be able to meet young women. The servant prayed to God at that time and said that amongst the women that were coming out to the well, he would ask them to give him a drink, and he prayed that there would be one that would be very happy to give him a drink and also proactively volunteer to provide water for all of the camels. And so the servant prayed that he would find such a woman, and that he would know that was the sign of the wife for Isaac. And just as he was praying that, Rebecca comes up. The servant asks for water, and she says, "Oh, I'm sure I'm welcome. I'm able to get that for you." And she does. In addition, she proactively said, "Oh, shall I get you, water for your camels as well?" And this was exactly the answer to his prayer. And it's not just easy to get water for camels. Each camel would have drinking about 80 liters of water in one time, and there were 10 of them. And so it would have been about 800 liters that she would have had to draw out of the well. And this isn't just like in the day we have today where you can just get water out of a faucet. She would have physically had to have drawn it out of the well using this water and put it into a trough and then keep pouring it, get it out of the well and put it in the trough repeatedly, how much water do you think you could carry at one time? For example, if you were able to do 20 liters at once, then that would have been 20 kilograms of water. You know, if you think about rice, 5-kilogram rice bag, you know, if you had even two of those, that'd be quite heavy. And water, it wouldn't just be water, it would be also the jar weight. So she would have had to get the water out of the well, put it in the trough, and then gone 40 to 50 times in order to accomplish this task, to be able to have the courage to say, I can get your camel's water, and then to have the physical strength to be able to actually accomplish that would have been quite a feat. She did, however, accomplish this task. And the servant saw this was an example to her, his prayer, and this enabled him to meet Rebecca. There are three main people that come up here: Abraham, who's the father, and his son Isaac. And then there's the servant, right? So these three are actually kind of an image of the Trinity. What is going on here, the Father God is telling his son, the bride of Christ, Jesus, to use and do work through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, you have been declared by God as appropriate for the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And this example is really easy for women to understand, but for men it's a little more difficult to think of yourself as a bride of Christ. However, the church is a bride of Christ. The Holy Spirit today too is searching for people who will become part of this bride of Christ. Just as Rebecca, we too have been deemed as worthy of the bride of Christ. And we receive blessings of this. What's necessary for that is actually 3 points. The first one is that we welcome the Holy Spirit and enjoy that fellowship. Rebecca first gave the water to the servant, and the Holy Spirit also wants fellowship with us. He provides water to us, in a sense. All people who are Christians have the Holy Spirit in them, and that's ever since they believe in Jesus Christ. And with the Holy Spirit and having a good relationship with him is something that's not 100% guaranteed. For example, if you get married, you know, if you could be legally married, but if you don't make any effort on any part, then it doesn't really mean that you'll have a great marriage. That's a separate issue. To have a good relationship with other people, you have to spend time with them and talk with them and so on. In the same way, the Holy Spirit who is within us wants to have a good relationship with us. In order for that to happen, it's important to sing out songs of praise and to pray and to hear God's word and to be aware of the Holy Spirit and welcome him. In doing so, you can have a good fellowship with him and have a good relationship with him and God and receive blessings. The most important part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to tell us just how wonderful Jesus Christ is. There are heresy groups, and they don't have a proper view of this. They unfortunately try to take people's eyes off of Jesus and make everybody focus on more of an organization. They're like, oh, our you know, group is the best, and they tell them, if you go away from our group, then you're going to go to hell. However, the Holy Spirit shows us how wonderful Jesus is, not a particular church group. And the more we are full of the Holy Spirit, the more we will be able to experience and give Jesus love. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you're able to do this. But if you can't relate to any of this, then perhaps you haven't really experienced the Holy Spirit. If you have the love of Christ or don't, you can possibly tell by that. So the servant was talking to Rebecca, and what he did was that he was likely, probably, telling Rebecca just how wonderful Isaac was after she had agreed to go with him. Then Rebecca had originally said that she wanted to go right with the servant, but her family tried to make her wait 10 days. But they asked Rebecca, "What do you want to do?" And Rebecca replied, saying, "I want to go with this person." She's going to go to this place she's never been, to this guy she doesn't know. And how is it that she could have made such a decision? It's because, likely, that the servant had been telling her just how wonderful like Isaac was. Of course, this isn't in the Bible, but this is just what I can imagine. He probably would have said to her, "Isaac's just this wonderful guy. He's really handsome, and he's tall, and he's really sweet. He's also respected by many people, and he has money as well. And he's just the best. He's going to be wonderful for you. Let's go." And likely Rebecca, even though she hadn't met him before, would have been likely using her imagination to want to go and be with him. In the same way, the Holy Spirit tells us about how wonderful Jesus Christ is. That's what his job is. So to have a good fellowship with the Holy Spirit allows us to be prepared for receiving God's blessing. The second point today is to accept trials without fear, to be able to accept trials. As for Rebecca, she was giving water to these 10 camels, and after she did so, she probably would have been exhausted. This would have been extreme physical work. 20 kilograms of water transported 40 to 50 times to put in a trough would have been extremely taxing. However, by what she did, she was able to receive blessings in the next stage of the story. If she hadn't done that, then she would not have been able to become the wife of Isaac. So this trial with the camels, in a sense, allowed her to be blessed in the next stage. And who brought these camels? It was the servant. The servant brought the camels from Abraham on the trip. In our lives as well, camels come, trials come. And who is it that brings them? The Holy Spirit. You would think, what? The Holy Spirit's bringing us trials? Well, yeah, because Jesus Christ, when he was about 30 years old, he started to begin his public work in the Jordan River. He was first baptized, and the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. And they heard the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And here you see the Trinity there as well. But what did Jesus do? He was taken then, actually, to the wilderness and tempted by the devil. And who took him there? Well, it says in the Bible that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the Spirit, it says, took him into the wilderness. As for you, you're probably facing some kind of trial. And what is this camel that has come into your life? For some people, it might be your husband. Oh. And he may be just like this thirsty camel saying, "I'm hungry. Don't you have food yet? I want to go to sleep." And he might say, "I'm tired." And this would be a really troublesome camel. Some people might be like, "Wow, why did you give me this camel? Could you please kill a camel and give me another one?" Some camels, it might be a wife or a child. They don't study. They just watch TV. They just play video games. They just complain. They just use money. And today, actually, in Michiko's column in the church bulletin, there's something really amazing that's written. And it's actually a quote. It says, when you're not able to express love to your children, that's the time when they actually need it the most. There's times actually like this when they're very rebellious and so on. But those are times actually when the children need the most love from their parents. It's the same for husbands and wives. You may think, oh gosh, this is just a really troublesome time, but that actually may be the time where love needs to be expressed the most. So please give your camel love. Give them water of love. Give them encouragement water. And don't kill your camel, because it's sent by God to you. Why is it that you have to deal with these camels and give them water? Because they actually bring blessings. Rebecca gave the water to the camels, and then in verse 22 it says that she in return received a gold nose ring weighing a beka and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. So she got these accessories. But that wasn't all. She also got other things. In verse 53, it says, the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebecca. So she was receiving things likely that she had never received before, jewelry and clothing and so on. And this amazing present, who is it that brought it? Well, it was the camels. Because she was giving water to these camels, she was able to receive a present for them. Big camels were able to bring big presents. Small camels were able to bring small presents. So when troublesome things come into your life, don't think of this as troublesome, but rather, wow, a blessing's on the way. You may look at it and think about how this trial is going to have something that is very positive on the other side. As for Jesus Christ, he was taken into the wilderness and then he did have something wonderful that he did with his life. Without trials in our lives, we won't have blessings. As for Rebecca, when she went to Isaac, how did she get there? And she charter an airplane? Sports car, maybe? No, she went by camel. These are the camels that she had given water to. And that is how she was able to get back to Isaac. As for ourselves, we will go to heaven at some point in time, and we'll be able to see Jesus face to face. And how is it that we get there? Well, it will be us who have overcome various things and various trials. Through trials, we're able to receive grace and blessings as well. Think about it for a minute. Rebecca was riding on a camel going to Isaac. And Isaac, when she got there, and if the camels were able to speak in words, what do you think they would have said to Isaac? They would have said, oh, we've brought Rebecca, and she's just this wonderful woman. And when we were very thirsty, she was able to give us a lot of water. And when we drank that water, we were play on words. It was great. We were, so we really respect Rebecca, and we think she's just wonderful. That's likely what they would have told them. As for ourselves, when we meet Jesus, anything we do will never go to waste. 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This year in April, in Fukudaya department store, there was the Tomohiro Hoshino display exhibition that was held, and we thank all the volunteers from the church who helped out with that. Mr. Hoshino actually passed away about a year ago, and he was at the age of 78, died on April 28th. At his memorial service, a lot of people came, and amongst them, there were also, of course, non-Christians. These non-Christians, when they gave their opinion of the memorial service, said that it was totally different from a regular, like, funeral, which would have been a Buddhist one. And they said it was filled with joy and thanksgiving and hope. And it really gave me the opportunity to think deeply about things. So to think about having joy and hope at a funeral, they're like, what is this? It really gave them opportunity to think about things. Well, of course, because if you know Jesus Christ, you have salvation. As for Mr. Hoshino, did he not have trials? No, he had a lot. It's like that likely you already know about him. But when he graduated from university, he finally became a junior high school PE teacher. When he was doing a diving forward roll into a somersault in a class as an example, he fell and was able to use his neck down for the rest of his life. And he just had a body now that was useless. He just couldn't do anything. He couldn't eat. He couldn't help other people. He was dependent on other people. And he was in despair at first. He's like, whoa, I can't. He didn't see any value of a person going on living because all he was doing was just causing problems for other people. And so he just felt that his life was worthless. So he's like, he just thought of like dying as fast as he could. He was thinking of how he could commit suicide. But he had that such a body that he couldn't even like jump off a bridge or hang himself. He thought about asking his mom to, to strangle him, but he didn't want her to have to be counted for murder. However, at that time, there was a Christian friend of his who came and gave him a Bible in the hospital and told him to read it. So he used this book reading machine at the hospital and started to read the Bible. And when he was reading it, there was one Bible verse that really caught his attention, and that was Romans 5, chapters verses 3 through 4. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So he was really shocked and encouraged by this. He's like, how can you find joy in hardships and trials? And how can this possibly, proceed to joy? So he gained interest in the Bible and started to read it, and then met Jesus Christ, becoming a Christian. In 1972, he would put a brush in his mouth and began to draw and paint. Amongst the poems he also wrote, there's one that is entitled Road of the Tinkling Bell. Let's share a portion of it with you. In my electric wheelchair, I find it very difficult to go over bumpy roads. And so I try as best as I can to go on flat roads and not bumpy ones. One day a friend gave me bells and I put it on my wheelchair. It just happened that I had to go over this bumpy road and I was like, oh no, not again. But when I realized was that when I went over the bumps, I could hear these beautiful bells. And after I was able to hear the beautiful bells numerous times, all of a sudden going over bumpy roads became something fun for me to do. I realized that if you have such bells in your heart, that when you go through trials, you'll be able to hear something beautiful. To go over bumpy things in life allows you to be able to hear something beautiful. And if in your heart you have such a stance, then you're able to hear something beautiful, even in very difficult times. As for myself, I know that where I am headed, and I will do my best to enjoy the trip there. So he was able to really enjoy even difficulties in his life. He's already gone to heaven, but the works that he's left behind are really just beautiful, and they really give hope to a lot of people who see them, and a lot of encouragement as well. As for you as well, I encourage you to enjoy the jingling bells that are in your heart when you go through trials. And may this encourage you and strengthen your faith. Even if a camel comes, don't kill it. Use it, knowing that it will provide a blessing to you on the other side. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that in our lives there are a lot of hardships and trials, but they aren't something that's just useless. We know that Jesus Christ has sent us various forms of presence in our lives, and some of these allow us to grow and bring about further blessings in return. We thank you for your amazing plan. Amongst hardships that we face, allow us, Lord, to have bells in our hearts to sing out joy and thanksgiving to you at all times. We ask, Lord, that you strengthen our faith in an even greater way. Allow us to be a blessing to even more people and allow us to grow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray for a moment together in silence. Today, I would like you to pray about something in particular. In Russia, there is the Takayama family and his wife, Katsuko, was sent through this organization. And so she was one of the leader people of this organization. And she fell and still unconscious, and the doctors say that there's really nothing they can do for her. But I encourage you to continue to pray that she will be healed. So if you know her or don't know her, if we would please pray for her now. Dear Jesus, we ask that Katsuko will be able to come before you again. She has been a very faithful servant. And we ask that you will allow her to stand again. Based on human power and medical field, they can't do anything. But we know, Lord, that you are able to do all things. We know that you've answered various other prayers we have asked for and provided miraculous answers. We ask that, again, you will do such a wonderful thing and that you may be glorified. There are many people in Japan, many Christians in Japan and around the world that are praying for her. We too are part of these people. We ask that you hear our prayer and that you have mercy on her and heal her. We know there's nothing that's impossible for you to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One more thing to pray about is that actually we're having prayer month this month. And the first week is a time when we're praying for people who don't know Jesus yet. This year, I actually gave you a challenge in January. And the challenge was to think of three people who don't know Jesus Christ and to specifically try to reach them for Christ and pray for them. Have you already forgotten about this? Yeah, that was about 5 months ago. But it's just the beginning of June, so you can think about it again. Can you think about three people that you really love in your life who aren't Christians? Maybe amongst your family or amongst your friends or relatives, perhaps. I would think you could come up with some. And I encourage you to bring those three people before the Lord now and ask that they would be able to be saved. Let's pray. Think of three. And think about special people, right? Of course, you know a lot of people, but choose three. Well, four is okay if you have to go four with four. Let's pray. dear Jesus. Today we're able to pay for three people. Three people who aren't saved yet and need to know your gospel truth. We pray, Lord, specifically for these people, that knowing that many people will try to go through the wide gate, but unfortunately that leads to destruction, as Jesus said. We ask, Lord, that you will save these people and that we'll be able to have, they too will be able to have hope for heaven as we do. Please touch them, Lord, as we bring them before you. Please, Lord, please save their souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this coming week and forevermore. Amen.